Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the quarterly EN conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, February 18th, 2016. I'll now turn the conference over to Rob Papp. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our first 2016 all EN call. This is a new process for us. We're excited to change the format, and I want to talk a little bit about that before we get started. As you can see from the agenda, we have met as a team, and we've made a couple of tweaks, important changes to the format of this call. And I'll go over these. First of all, what we have decided as a team to do is to conduct these calls on a quarterly basis. We are switching from a month-to-month to a quarterly approach. We feel that this gives us time to accrue business topics and areas of concern that we can discuss with you. In addition to that shift in paradigm, we're also going to change somewhat of the outward appearance, which used to be more, I guess, Maximus-led through the topics that our executives previously would identify as areas where presentations would occur when select topics for dissemination among ENs, to a more direct approach. So this is an approach that we're taking to communicate more directly with our EN community. As such, we will rely more on your feedback as we go along with this process in terms of things that you want us to cover, areas that you're interested in that we discuss, and that can include business items or can include areas for presentations moving forward. So we're open to a more direct dialogue in that regard, and the calls will be led by and participation will be received from our internal staff here in ORDES. So we're excited about that change as well. We look forward to moving into 2016 with this new approach. And in terms of the format of the call itself, what we will ask of you is that you hold your calls, you hold your questions until the end of the call, and then we will open it up for questions that you have, and we ask that you identify the topic that you would like to raise or the question you'd like to raise, and our folks in the room here will weigh in to give you those answers. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over into our next segment, and that is to introduce our ticket program manager, which is familiar to most of you, if not all of you. As you're aware, this past fiscal year, we were in a process of conducting a new search for a program manager as the previous contract had expired. And Maximus received the award of the contract. They were previously referred to as the operations support manager. However, when we drafted and consolidated contracts for marketing and operations aspects of the Ticket to Work program, we decided to refer to our new contract as the Ticket Program Manager contract. So we will use the TPM acronym or Ticket Program Manager euphemism moving forward. So we want to welcome the folks at Maximus. They've been valuable partners to us throughout the implementation of the ticket program and the management of the ticket program. And so what I'd like to do is, without further ado, kick it over to Sabre Gardner to talk about some roles and contact information as well as areas of responsibility. So Sabre, if you would take it over.
Thank you so much, Rob, and hello, everyone. I feel like I should say Happy New Year, even though it's already the middle of February. As the title, Ticket Program Manager, describes very clearly for you with the combining of the two former contracts under OSM and BAS. The scope of the TPM is all-encompassing. So I wanted to just provide for you a little overview of really what our focus is, how we are aligning things in order to support you, and then share with you some of the changes to our essential personnel that are the folks that you would deal with for various issues. So the purpose of the ticket program manager really and in combining the two former contracts into one, SSA's purpose is coordinating and merging into a seamless effort all beneficiary and EN marketing, outreach, training, support, and performance monitoring. So the specific tasks that we are focused on is conducting outreach through broad-based targeted marketing to beneficiaries, ensuring timely and accurate communication with beneficiaries, facilitating beneficiary access to ENs, recruiting experienced and highly qualified ENs, assisting SSA in facilitating and monitoring active EN participation in the ticket program, facilitating the ticket assignment and EN payment processes, and assisting SSA to ensure the quality and integrity of EN ticket services. So those are the main goals of focus for us, and we do that through a variety of means with a large staff team. In terms of a timeline, Rob mentioned we have gone through a transition period that ran October through December, and we are still actually, we do have a little bit of the former BAS contractor. They are still involved to a small extent through the end of March, helping us facilitate the virtual job fair that you'll hear more about later next month. And then also providing a small component of support for helpline to handle calls at our call center based on a large increase in mailings from the agency, which you will also hear more about later. So FYI on that for you. With the ticket program manager, the way we have aligned things is we think of essentially three spokes. And as you know from before, we were focused on, Maximus specifically was focused on operations under the OSM and dealt largely with service providers and systems related things. And the BAS contractor focused on beneficiaries. And in combining into one, the way we have aligned things is a little bit different. We still, of course, have our systems team, and they are integral to how everything operates, and they work very closely with SSA. And then we have two separate areas that overlap quite a lot. We have all of our program operations, which includes both beneficiary support, provider support, our payments group, and program integrity that assists SSA in auditing and things like that. And so that is sort of essentially one half of how we have aligned things. And then we have a program development side of the house, and that is where our EN development team comes in on recruitment, where our training team comes for ticket training, and then we have program outreach efforts and community outreach efforts. And so that is how we have chosen to align things, and it's so that the same teams, if you will, are working together to support activities, whether that be an audience of employment networks or an audience of beneficiaries. The personnel that you will deal with, so that you are aware, of course, myself, Sabra Gardner, I'm the project director. My deputy director is LaWanda Hawkins, who many of you know. She was previously the program integrity manager. And the person in charge of all of our operations is Deborah Tennessee, who many of you know from working in the payments arena. Nobody better to manage operations than Deborah Tennessee. Let me just tell you that. On the program development side, someone I think many ENs are familiar with, managing our program development side of the house for TPM is Tammy Lidicote, who came to us about a year and a half ago, I think, from an EN, and brings with her, of course, a wealth of knowledge about how ENs function and what's needed and and a lot of interaction with Ian to be able to help us formulate strategies and move things forward. In terms of the call center, we have launched a beneficiary call center, the helpline, which is housed out of Texas. And Lori Armstrong, who many of you worked with previously on Timely Progress, is our beneficiary support manager with ultimate oversight of the call center operation. Adele Barr, who many of you knew through ticket assignment work, is our training manager. Managing program outreach for TPM is Karen Davidson. And then provider support, many of you know because you speak with her regularly, Janet Cousin. And then I did want to let you know the EN development manager role previously held by Michelle Leger. Michelle's transitioned to a new position within Maximus, no longer on the ticket project, and so we'll be filling that position shortly. But in terms of contact information, though we are calling ourselves the ticket program manager, there is no change to the contact information. So the ticket helpline phone numbers are exactly the same. Those have transitioned over to our ownership. The operating hours for the ticket helpline remain the same, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will go ahead and give you that ticket helpline just so you've got it, even though you probably all have it memorized. 1-866-968-7842 or the TTY number 1-866-833-2967. The websites remain the same. So your provider website is the same. And then, of course, chooseworktTW.net for beneficiaries. We still, of course, receive email support at chooseworktTW.net. No changes there. And we still operate an EN help desk for payments, questions, and systems help as we had before, which is at the same phone number with the same hours, 1-866-949-3687, and that team operates Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. You can also email them at enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.com for payments questions or ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.com for systems-related questions that our team can help you with. So that is the TPM here to support your every need. I will hand it over now to Kara Kaplan with SSA, who oversees the Employment Network Service Branch, who also provides a wealth of support for you.
Good afternoon. I'm going to reiterate a little bit of what Sabra just said, that all of your EN business concerns should be addressed with your EN specialist at SSA. If you do not know who that is, please send an email to enservice@ssa.gov and we will let you know. You do no longer have a representative that you should be contacting at Maximus. You should be contacting your EN Social Security representative. The only issues that you should be going to Maximus for, as Sabre stated, are portal issues, which are at ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.com. Payment and assignability issues should go to enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.com. Assignability can also be checked in the portal, which we recommend. In the near future, the portal is going to be mandatory for all ENs, so if you're not already registered, we strongly recommend that you do. You should also go to your Social Security EN specialist for suitability issues. Some things have changed recently with suitability, so when you send your ECIP applicant listing, we would like you to send a copy of that to enservice@ssa.gov. It'll allow us to help manage your request with our suitability office. And there's a new feature with the ECIP applicant that it says click to sign for signature forms. So you don't have to send any more printed, the signature form printed information. And that is it. I will turn it over to Gary for proof of concept.
Hello, everyone. This is Gary Rao with in the Office of Beneficiary Outreach and Employment Support. And I wanted to mention to you about the three proofs of concept, one of which we have well underway, and give you a status update. And the other two are in the process of launching. So the first one is the Benefit Planning Query, or BPQI, project. We've been involved with this since approximately March of last year, so almost a year. And we had the concept behind the proof of concept is that we wanted to see if we could provide a faster and more consistent level of service from a centralized base. So with the help of approximately 38 agencies, 14 employment networks, 13 WIPAs, 3 PABs, and 2 agencies that are both WIPA and PABs, and 6 VRs, a couple of them very large, we have generated in that time frame nearly 8,500 BPQIs in an average processing time of fewer than 4 business days. So I think we have pretty much demonstrated that this is a viable option, and we have presented that to our executives, and we are now, with their approval, seeking additional resources to modify the structure of the BPQI itself to put it on a stable platform. And our plan is to continue the proof of concept until that's complete. And if at all possible, we may expand it just a little bit to a few more agencies. And eventually, we hope to have a completely revamped and revised BPQI that would be provided by SSA rather than through the field through a centralized location. So that's the plan, and that's where we are with that process. The second is the on the agenda. It's something different than I have here, but I've been referring to it as the wage reporting proof concept, wage verification. So we are in the planning and development phase of this proof of concept. And what we're going to do is to facilitate the transmission of verified wage information that are presented to employment networks by our beneficiaries and reported to our payment staff at Maximus. And what we're going to do is change the internal process within SSA as to how that information gets transmitted to the field office in such a way that we are going to improve the process of getting those wages entered into our system. And hopefully, we're going to prevent, hopefully eliminate, overpayments with this particular subset of reportings. So this has involved quite a bit of behind-the-scenes action on our part. We had hoped to start it a couple of months ago, but it is moving along, and we hope that sometime in March we will be able to proceed with this. We're going to start with a small number of ENs, and then we hope to expand it up to a larger group as quickly as we possibly can. The third proof of concept is what we call the marketing proof of concept. And this is one that has to do with a broader EN marketing issue that in part came about when we stopped sending out the CDs and because of concerns about TII and SSA's role in protecting our beneficiaries' information. So what we have done is we've sent out to a small number of agencies the possibility of us at SSA coming up with records that are targeted to marketing needs. And this has also proven to be quite an involved process. But I will tell you that we're planning to try this out hopefully within the next week or two to see if it all works, all of the technological and the other aspects involved in this process. If everything plays out, we hope to have a rollout schedule to those individual EMs that are involved in this sometime in the next month. So that pretty much gives an update of where we are with regard to this. And at this point, I'm going to turn this over to Mark Green to talk about other marketing issues with regard to our EMs. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Hi, everybody. I'm going to talk about a couple of interesting items and then give it back to Rob for a very quick update. The most interesting thing, I think, are the ticket mailings, which we've been discussing for a while. The mailings are coming in essentially three buckets. You can think of them that way. It's the same letter. The first bucket is what we've been calling the startup notice. It's the one you've been familiar with for years, the one that comes to the beneficiary shortly after entitlement. It's the one we stopped in 2011 and started up, I think, February. Somebody knows better.
I think it was April.
Okay. We'll go with April. At any rate, that's the startup notice. That number is dependent, of course, on how many beneficiaries are awarded disability benefits every month, and the agency's applications have been trending down the last couple of years. So that number has averaged around 30,000. I've seen 28 to 33. That seems to be a steady number since we sorted up those notices, so we should expect that until the agency's receipts go back up. The second big bucket, as we talked about this before, we're going to send out anniversary notices. Again, it's the same notice on the one-year and three-year anniversary of the beneficiary's entitlement. This is basic direct marketing theory. You tell them and keep telling them. Those have been averaging around 70,000. They started a couple months ago. And the third bucket is what we call the catch-up. And we were really quite pleased we're able to do that. We're sending notices to all the beneficiaries who would have received them from July 2011 through, I guess we decided, March 2015, but didn't receive them. That will average around 65,000, except for February and April. We're sending out some more notices those months because we started this late. The idea is that the catch-up notices will be done by the end of the fiscal year, and then when October, November rolls around, everybody's going to be back on the same schedule. They get an initial notice, and then 1 year and 3 years. So we're very pleased to be able to start those notices again. They were a very powerful recruiting tool. We think the 1 and 3 year notices will particularly add to that ability. I always say this, I'm interested in your responses to this, if your calls, if you can tell me from your call metrics, whether your calls are picked up when you get these notices, I'd really appreciate hearing from you. It's mark.green@ssa.gov. The second item is the IVR or auto dial call that the BASS is making. We suspended as we were transitioning to the TPM contract. They're going to start up again sometime in mid-March. If you recall or if you don't, we were making 25,000 calls to basically newly entitled beneficiaries, and we're going to start that up again soon. And also calls to beneficiaries who have had a successful closure from the VR agency. Those calls are basically what we call roughly Partnership Plus calls. So congratulations for successfully closing the EDR case, but there's more work to be done, and ENs are the organization that can help you with your follow-along services. So you should look for those in the middle of March. Again, I'll say the same thing I said about the notices. I'm really interested from you if you're getting a response from those calls as well as the notices. So please get in touch with me personally. The last item before I turn it over to Rob is we had two work groups that you're probably familiar with. One was the BOSS work group, which focused on marketing, and the BASS ran. I participated in all of those, and frankly, they were disappointing, the participation and just the number of VNs who called in and the participation during the calls really didn't justify having those calls. We're going to try to entertain questions along those lines during these calls. They're quarterly now. They're 90 minutes. They afford a great opportunity to have a back and forth. If you think that the BOSS calls are worth starting up again on their own, if there's time at the end of the presentations here, we have a question and answer. If you can get in and address that issue then. If not, send your opinions to the email address you should be familiar with, enoperations@yourtickettowork.com. That applies also to a second group, one that Sabre was running for a number of years, the operations work group that was more productive. We're just not sure that really warrants all the time we were devoting to it. So the same proviso, if you think we should continue that, you can get in, ask a question at the end of the presentations, please do so. Otherwise, again, enoperations@yourtickettowork.com. So I hope that's somewhat good news, and we'll turn it over to Rob for a brief update.
Thanks, Mark. And to piggyback on Mark's comments, as we move forward, we can carve out pieces of the agenda for future quarterly EN calls for specific elements such as marketing topics or operations issues, best practices regarding each or whatever the case may be. But again, please give us your input so that we can conduct the planning and outreach necessary to get those things on the calendar. So we'd like to hear back from you. Regarding the Marketing Summit follow-up, as you're aware, we had two sessions last year before the end of the fiscal year. We're in a new fiscal year this year. The budget situation, this is probably not going to come as a surprise to a lot of people because it sounds like we are a broken record, but we are under in a dire budgetary situation, and there are extenuating circumstances for that I won't get into, but suffice it to say, flexibilities for things such as travel are going to be very tight this year. That's what we've been told. We're waiting to find out exactly what our fiscal situation will be. All those things are being decided right now by our Office of Budget. So, more information to come regarding that. And you're also aware that we transitioned contracts this year, so we had to sort of put some of the activities identified through your feedback from the Marketing Summit on the shelf because we had to transition things such as the call center and other fundamental operating aspects of the program over to Maximus. So there's been a lot of work in getting people hired and suitability and so forth and so on. I won't get into that as well, but we've been really busy trying to successfully transition timely some fundamental aspects of our program. And so some things, as a result, have had to take a back seat. I will tell you that a lot of the items that were mentioned from a result of the Marketing Summit were things relating to the need to conduct training for field office staff. And how they communicate or discuss the Ticket to Work program with beneficiaries and how they interact with service providers and other stakeholder members. We, as a result of the Dallas Summit, one thing that moved forward that we can share with you is that the Dallas Area Work Incentive Coordinators work together to help us develop what is going to be a video on demand or an IVT presentation for all field staff, which is basically going to consist of two parts that will walk them through how to discuss the Ticket to Work program with the public that are interested in finding out more about going back to work. We're excited about this. As a matter of fact, I filmed my piece this morning. So that is in the works, and we project that to be released out to the field in March. We're hoping that that will improve the dialogue that is currently in place among the field components and the public on Ticket to Work. So that is one big piece that we were able to achieve. The other elements, as Gary touched on, the marketing POC is underway. We're moving forward with that. We will follow up with you in the next call on more specific items pertaining to the things that you identified would be helpful from the marketing summit and get back to you on that. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Laura, who's going to talk to us about virtual job fairs.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura York. We're very pleased to let you know that we will be having a second virtual job fair November 16th, and that will take place from 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Unlike our last virtual job fair, which was a nationwide event, this event will target jobs specifically in D.C., Delaware, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, and Puerto Rico. Although the jobs themselves are located in these areas, any beneficiary who has their ticket assigned and who is job ready at the time of the event is free to participate, as long as if they were to find a job that they're interested in and were offered the application, that they would be able to move or telecommute as the opportunity applies to the opportunity. Again, that's open to any beneficiary whose ticket is assigned and who has signed the necessary consent form and registered for the event. That consent form and the registration piece can be found on choosework.net. And you should have been receiving information about that via GovDelivery, and you'll be receiving another announcement shortly. And that announcement will also contain information about some of the employers that we anticipate having on board for the March event. To talk to you a little bit about our expectations for you as service providers from Social Security's perspective, this is a great opportunity for you not only to help your beneficiaries to find gainful employment, but also for yourself ultimately to be paid by them becoming employed. We know it's a long process, but it is a really great opportunity for you, and we're hoping that you look at this as an opportunity to further yourself as well as to help your beneficiary. In light of that, we're asking that you not only assist them in the registration process, but as you're able to, please make yourselves available to them to be with them as they navigate the environment and help them interface with employers and answer those interview questions and really make the best showing that they possibly can. We're really, really looking forward to you and your participation in doing that. Some of the events and some of the employers that we anticipate on having, right now this is a partial list, but some of them are Amerimax, TD Bank, Anthem, BAE Systems, Turner Construction, Pepsi, Maximus, Convance, Termo BBC, Hyatt Hotels and Resorts, Raytheon, the State of Maryland, Sirius XM Radio, Teledyne Energy, and Princeton University. And those are just a few. We anticipate more. Their jobs are located in the states that I mentioned, but any beneficiary who's job ready is able to participate as long as they register and have their consent form signed and are willing to move if that's necessary for them to do to take a job. In order to help you, help your beneficiary make the most out of this event. We are offering training sessions for service providers, and those obviously would include ENs and VRs, and those are webinars. The first event took place yesterday, actually, and that was a webinar telling you what to expect and how to help your beneficiaries register. The next event will be February 24th, and that is it's actually a WISE event, and that will help beneficiaries learn more about Section 503 and their opportunities to find work with a federal contractor. Again, all of these employers are federal contractors, so it's a really good tie-in, and we would also encourage you to that WISE so you're aware of what your beneficiaries are learning about in terms of Section 503. The next event will be March 2nd, and that one will be about virtual job fair readiness. We'll be having a demonstration and an employer overview. So be sure to tune into that event. And the last training session will be on March 9th. Again, that will help you prepare your beneficiaries and will provide you with some tips for helping them make the most of the event. Again, you should have seen some gov delivery messages go out. They will continue to go out as we gather more information and learn more about the employers and the jobs that they offer. So we encourage you to, if you have job-ready and ticket-assigned beneficiaries, we encourage you to have them participate on March 16th from 1 to 5 p.m. And now we'll turn it over to Katie for information about the Find Help tools.
I'm sorry, before we do that, Laura, there's a question in the chat I think we can answer. For the virtual job fair, does the participant need to sign a consent each time if they're still enrolling one?
At this point, they will need to sign a consent form, and they'll need to re-register each time, but we will be working to change that. But at this point, they will need to re-register and assign a new consent form each time.
Thank you. Sorry, Katie.
Hi, this is Katie Strevinger. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to give a little more information about the Find Help tool. We did some gov delivery messages out earlier talking about how you can check the website, the Choose Work TTW website, and the Find Help tool there and verify that the information on the website is the information that's correct that you want displayed for beneficiaries when they search the tool. Just a reminder, if there's a change to the content on that site for your EN, you need to send an email to enservice@ssa.gov and tell them what changes you want. Please be as specific as possible. That will help us make your change more quickly. Another feature that is on the Find Help tool is that your employment network can have a description of up to 250 characters giving the beneficiary some information about your EN. This description just came back not too long ago. And if you had a description on the website before we transitioned to the new contract, that description is on the website. Descriptions have remained static while we've been transitioning contracts. So if in the time we transitioned you have submitted to us a new description or an update to your current description, that will be visible on the website starting March 1st. I encourage you to take the time now to go and write up a description to have displayed on the website. This is a great marketing tool to provide information about your EN that isn't visible by what's displayed there on the screen. To initiate a change, you need to email your 250-character description to endeskrev@ssa.gov. I'm going to spell that out for you. endeskrev@ssa.gov, and we'll put that up on the chat so you can see the whole address. But please email that there, and once it has been vetted, it will be posted to the website on the Find Help tool. And like I said, this will all appear starting March 1st. And that's all I have for the Find Help tool. I'm going to send it to Desiree.
Thank you, Katie. Hello, everyone. I wanted to recap for you where we are with ePay, actually go over where we've been over the 6 months since we first started. And just to make the point of the impact it's had on payments, a positive impact, as you should be aware. And also to revisit the topic of Cuba, which we believe, based on the performance of ePay and the fact that we have the portal, that we won't need to bring it back for the sake of ticket payments. But I'll go ahead and share with you what's happened over the past 6 months. In last August, we did our first ePay file, and it was basically a test file. We paid out about $3 million under that file. The second ePay file, we completed that one in December. It was late December, and we actually paid out almost $20 million under that file. And the big difference was that we made all the payments that we could make based on the information in our records historically. We fixed the logic to grab everything that was payable going back in time. The current ePay file, the TPM began working on that in February. We think it may be representative of a typical ePay file. And so far we've paid out $2.5 million under that. And we're more than halfway through with that file, and we'll probably be complete with that file next week.
By the end of next week.
Now, we can't give you a schedule yet for ePay. We're still looking at the performance. We've done these three files, and some of the files represent having received data, the quarterly data, which would give us a lot of hits, and then some may not. For example, when we finish this file, we're going to run a March file, but we know that we will not have received the Oxy data. So we won't expect to get many hits from that. But then we'll run a file in April when we will have the Oxy data and that kind of thing. So we want to give ourselves more time to look at how it's performing and what we can expect before we set a schedule of whether it would be monthly or every other month or quarterly and that type of thing. Meanwhile, you all have still been requesting payments through the portal, which is great. I just wanted to give you the numbers. We're talking October 1st through February 1st. So with the first 4 months of the fiscal year, we've made a total of 38,911 payments. This is a 43% increase over the payments we had made last year this time. Remember, last year we had universal auto pay and some e-pays that were targeted for certain types of ENs. And with the full e-pay that we've been doing, we have paid out 43% more, well, actually made 43% more payments. And I just wanted to mention that that breakout from that 38,900, over 30,000 was from ePay, and 8,700 and some were from the portal, which we think is really good that folks have gotten in. And so the portal is still an option, and we want to remind you that it's there whenever you feel like you may be able to request a payment, just go there. And remember, it has a feature where you may not have to submit evidence of earnings to do so. I also wanted to mention the dollar amount of payments, too, because we've paid out twice as much as we had in the first 4 months of last fiscal year. We paid out $29 million so far this year. And last year, this time, we had paid out $14 million. So I mentioned that we want to go forward and continue to look at whether we should be doing it at certain intervals versus other intervals. But at this point, we don't think that we would be able to bring the Cuba back, even if we wanted to, based on a response we got from IRS about the data that we had programmed to use. But I think we're in good shape nonetheless. This isn't like a second best. I think this is a superior model that we're using now. And we just wanted to let you know where things stand with that. I'm turning it back over. Who am I turning? I'm turning it over to Mark.
No.
Or no, to Katie.
Back to me again.
I'm not doing the portal.
Oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. To Sean. Sean?
Thank you, Desiree.
Sorry about that.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today I will discuss the 2016 ticket payment rates. These rates are associated with Title II and Title 16 beneficiaries. First, we'll start with the Title II trial work level SGA amounts for 2016. The trial work level amount is $810. The SGA non-blind is $1,130. The SGA blind is $1,820. Now we're going to move over to the ticket to work payment rates outcome only payment system for 2016. The Title II rate is $781. The Title 16 rate is $451. I'll now move over to the milestone outcome payment system for 2016. For Phase 1 milestones under the Title II rate, it would be $1,398. For Phase 2 milestones under the Title II rate, would be $419. For outcomes under Title II, the rate is $419. In relation to Title 16 for Phase 1 milestone, the rate would be $1,398. Phase 2 milestones for Title 16, the rate would be $214. Outcomes for Title 16, the rate would be $242. And that would conclude the information related to the 2016 ticket payment rates.
Oh, John, just one little correction. This is Deborah. With Title 16 Phase 2 payment rates is also $242.
Okay.
$214. I know you know it's $242, but when you gave the rate, you said $214. So I just want to make sure everybody knows it is $242.
Thank you for that correction, Deborah. I appreciate that. I would also like to discuss the all EM payments call that was canceled in January due to the snowstorm has been rescheduled. Our next all EM payments call is scheduled for Tuesday, February 23rd, and that's on Tuesday. That's the information that I have for you. I will now turn it over to Desiree. Katie.
We're going to talk about the portal. I want to start by reiterating what Kara said earlier. The ticket portal is going to be mandatory, so please take the opportunity now to go through the steps necessary to register to get into the portal. When we first launched the portal back in June of 2015, we had a total of 387 users. Today, we are up to 927. The original EMs we had when we first started were 187. We are up to 478. All this is as of February 1st. So as you can see, everyone's getting in, so don't you want to join along and get in there. There is a lot of great functionality in the portal, and as we go, we are trying to make things easier and better for you. As you send comments along, we are trying to make these enhancements for you. We are listening, and we want to make this portal as useful for you as we can. I do also want to give another stat. When we started in June, we had about 1,000 payment requests submitted to the portal. As of February 1st, 22,000 payment requests have been submitted to the portal. We are saving trees, people. We are. No one has to fax anything, print it out, upload it to a screen. It is going directly from what you key in the portal to someone's work queue on their computer. So, bravo, everyone. I want to tell you about some recent enhancements since the last time we talked. There is now a quicker way to perform actions in the portal on beneficiaries currently assigned to you. You no longer have to navigate to the beneficiaries currently assigned to me list, one of the top links on the screen. You used to have to go in there to the list of all of your beneficiaries, find the specific beneficiary you want to take an action on, and then take an action. If you know the beneficiary's SSN, you can go in the link Check Ticket Assignability. It's in the middle of the main menu. If you type in the SSN and that SSN is currently assigned to your EN, you will see an Actions menu. So right there, you can get within like a click or two to the Actions menu for a specific beneficiary.
We heard you that it was complicated trying to navigate the list, especially for some of you larger ENs. We hope this makes things easier for you. If you had not noticed this was available, please, as you start using it now. Another change that was requested was many of you wanted to know the beneficiary state for a beneficiary is currently assigned to you. When you download that list to Excel, this is not going to appear on the screen, but if you download the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to your EN to an Excel spreadsheet, you will now notice there's a column for the beneficiary state. That is all the updates I have on the portal, and I'm going to turn it back over to Mark.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. I realize this is maybe not the best way to end this call because it's a bit of a scold, but not to you. Our cooperative friends are listening to this call, but unfortunately, everybody is as cooperative as you, and many of them do not send in the A-port every year. This is a broken record. I say this every year, as David Weaver said in his message on February the 4th. Every year, we wind up terminating ENs for a failure to send in a very simple thing. It's in the contract, and in my opinion, this is just plain foolishness. You know, have to unassign everybody every ticket that's assigned to these ENs that we have to terminate. Maximus, the TPM, makes available a good section of resources for you on their website to complete a document, which in itself is not that difficult to do. It's 35 pretty simple questions, the answers to which all should need to be at your fingertips, so are readily available. And responding to it could not be easier. You just have to open up that link on SurveyMonkey and do this. It cannot take more than an hour of your time. So our friends on the phone, if you can share this word with our less cooperative brethren and tell them we will not be chasing them around for months as we have in previous years. We are just going to put them on hold and terminate them if we don't get the A4. Maximus sent it out on February the 10th. It's due on March the 11th. Response has been good so far, but every year we wind up with a fair number of ENs who do not do this. So spread the word, please. We do not want to terminate any ENs. We certainly do not want to unassign tickets of any beneficiaries who are receiving services with this very simple administrative activity. Sorry for the downer. I'm going to turn it back.
Turn it over to me.
Rob?
So before, thank you, Mark. Before we go to the question and answer session, I just want to reiterate that to please get your A-ports completed. It's not that lengthy of a task, and as Desiree mentioned, we're the program now is humming in terms of the amount of dollars that we're paying out to for the services provided. This new e-pay process has been tremendous. We've so far year to date, we sound like we've doubled the money that we've paid out. So if that isn't incentive enough, then I can't even imagine what more we could do. But before I kick over to the questions part, I want to thank all the staff and managers that are here today and on the phone for their help and support with this call. We have a large portion of the essentials of the Ticket to Work program in this room, so God forbid if something were to happen. It's like the State of the Union speech. But they're all put a lot of effort into this, and they've been convening over by the computer over there with, you know, to get you responses to your questions. The one response that I wanted to give, I believe it was Linda Patino asked in regards to the training video, and if we could share that. I will check with our Office of Learning after the completion of the production, and I will get back to you in regards to what we can facilitate for you. But bear in mind, the one thing I do want to clarify is that training is, the audience for that training is our field office staff. I think it'd be nice if we could share it or find a way to share it with you. So more to come on that. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to the operator for whatever calls we have out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press pound. One moment, please, for the first question. Your first question comes from the line of Stephanie Steers.
Hello. Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I have a couple questions. One in regards to the suitability process. What is the current mailing address?
We're going to go get that for you. We don't have that with us right now. We'll have it in a couple minutes.
Okay, no problem. Along with that, would it be possible for a blanket email to go out to everyone with that updated mailing address, as well as an updated EQIT application sheet? The one that was sent out back in July still has that need to send in EQIT signature forms. So just a suggestion, maybe everybody could benefit from an email from that.
Yeah, that doesn't come from us. That comes from the Office of Suitability. We can't change somebody else's forms, but we can certainly send something out communicating it, yeah.
Okay, that would be great. Also, I just had a question in regards to the site visits that were done in the fall. We were told we'd get a report on that, and we haven't seen anything yet. Just wondering if those are still coming.
They were all sent. Well, who is your EN?
Disabled workers.
Oh, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Mark. What was the question?
We had a site visit this past fall.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. That's with me. Well, you'll be seeing that shortly.
Okay, thank you. And then, sorry, one last question. For the portal access, is the time frame still the two-day turnaround from our EN specialist to get our employees access to that?
You're saying you have everything in order, like your
the suitability,
and you ask for access, and it's been 48 hours, and you don't have access?
Correct.
Okay. Who is it for? I mean, you know, email it to EN Service, or you can email me, kara.kaplan@ssa.gov, and I'll make sure that person gets enrolled. What state are you in?
Iowa. Okay, that's all my questions. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Stephanie. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeffrey Barrett.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I have two questions. The first is, when I've gone online to request payment, at one time, I believe I was able to upload digital pay stubs, and then that disappeared in favor of a fax cover sheet, and to upload the pay stubs, I have to cut and paste everything together and send in by fax, much more difficult than simply uploading the pay stubs. What happened to that link where you could upload pay stubs or any documents that needed to be uploaded?
Are you sending your payment request through the portal, or are you faxing your payment request?
I prefer to send them. I send them through the portal. And then at the end, when you're going to submit pay stubs, it gives you a fax cover sheet. And I think before that fax cover sheet, there was a thing where you could upload the pay stubs directly.
Right.
And that's disappeared.
We have a different portal here. There's a Social Security portal. And actually, it's really better because with this process, you have to actually do your submission of your documentation separate. But the creation of that fax sheet that you get, or that cover sheet, gives you, I will call it a case number, a work case number, where your documents are associated with your payment request immediately. So in that respect, everything does come together. It keeps your case together. Prior to this, as you mentioned before, under the old system, you uploaded it all, but there were many, many steps that happened after that upload process, and I think it was three or four people who still had to handle your paperwork before a case was actually created within the system.
Oh,
here,
okay.
If you do that upload or that send that fax cover sheet right away, minutes after you do that, your case will be in the system ready to be worked.
That all sounds wonderful from your perspective, but I receive most pay stubs electronically, and they're PDF.
Okay.
I have to cut and paste the PDF to a Word document in order to be able to enter that number. And I have to make sure that the first page of the Word document is the fax cover sheet, then the number, then the slugged-in PDF of the stub, and then another one. And also online, you have to separately enter each pay period instead of just doing an entire month. There's no accommodation to enter two pay stubs in one submission. You have to do it twice. So there's a lot of extra work going into it for us, which may be saving you a lot of work, but it makes it difficult for ENs, and especially if you run a large practice or you run a diverse practice, as I do, it's time-consuming to do that. And I try to avoid creating paper in my files because that makes PII vulnerable. So I guess that's kind of feedback. We need a simpler system that makes it easier to simply upload all the documentation as a package and to enter the documentation. When I get a month of pay stubs, entering it once would be very nice. And there may be two pay stubs, there may be four pay stubs. So instead of entering and then sending it, entering again and sending it, and then getting the fax cover sheet and messing around with that to create a document that you can fax as a single document. It's a lot of work. It's very time consuming. The second question I have is...
This is Katie. If you don't mind, if I could just...
Sure.
Just give you a little bit of the thought behind the way it is set up. If you do, the reason, first of all, that we make you do it a month at a time,
You're making us do it a pay stub at a time, not a month.
Let me start with how you do the payment. So you go in, you select the beneficiary, and then you select the claim month. When you hit submit, the system is checking behind the scenes to see if we have earnings in our system that will prevent you from having to submit the pay stub. It is doing a check behind the scenes. If you put in January 2016 and we already have enough earnings, because it already knows what payment is next, if our system has enough earnings for that payment that you're trying to request, you do not have to submit the pay stub. Now, I understand that if the earnings are on our systems, you do have to submit the pay stub in order to get paid because we don't have the earnings in our record yet. But that's the reason behind it making you do it a month at a time, is because we're actually trying to save you some paperwork if we can. In the old process, you had to send us what you had no matter what, because we weren't doing any checking behind the scenes to say, don't send it, we already have it in our system. We were making submitting.
I like the idea that you're checking behind the scenes, but I had one where I had submitted a phase one, milestone one pay stub, which I thought was marginal to trial work level, and didn't hear anything. And when I got the next pay stubs, which were at fully at trial work level, I submitted that as phase one, milestone one, and the payment on that was rejected because they had already paid on that phase one, milestone one, which I received the following day. So it did not automatically go to the second month. It made me resubmit entirely using the correct milestone two instead of milestone one. So it was not by any means automatic.
Could you please send your inquiry for that to our EM payments help desk at yourticketsworth.com? Because that's
I've done that. They suggested I go online to this meeting and discuss it.
Okay.
So specific payment related questions will go to the help desk, just for point of clarification.
Okay. I have a second question, if I could. And this has to do with a particular individual. I've got a guy who is self-employed as an Uber driver. Yes, he went to his Social Security office and said, hey, I'm working, and I'm not sure where I stand. Now, they explained to him the ticket to work thing, and he got himself assigned to me. But what they did was they took his gross pay, knowing that he's self-employed and has all the expenses of running his vehicle in order to earn anything, but they just took the gross pay and they counted milestones against him. In fact, he's at SGA now. So we have a problem because his expenses would probably eliminate two of those milestones. But we don't have any procedure to go back and correct the determination by that Social Security office.
So this is Robert Paff. Let me interject. You want to direct those specific types of questions to our payments help desk, okay?
Okay.
This is a national call, so we want to keep the calls sort of broad, in general in nature, programmatic sort of questions, specific questions. We have help desks available to help you sort through those issues, okay?
Okay. They were not sure what to do with it either. So
we will route the question to the appropriate party and get your response.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Trip Carter.
Hey, everybody. Hey.
Hi.
I just had a quick question. I was wanting to find out, I know you guys weren't going to start TPR selection again until after the first of this year. Do you guys have an ETA on when that's probably going to kick in again?
This is Mark. Slowly starting up in April. We're going to test to see how it works because it's a new system function. So you can see it probably flourishing in the second half of the calendar year.
Okay. I just wanted to make a note of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Linda Sullivan.
Hi. Good afternoon. I have a question in regard to ePay. I had an individual that was in the outcome phase, and the auto payments were coming monthly. Now, I realize that you've had a first, a second, and now you're working on a third run in ePay. And he has not been picked up in any of those runs. Is there something wrong here, or will I eventually get paid through ePay?
That again is a question for our EM Payments Help Desk. You can submit your inquiry to the EM Payments Help Desk. It could be a situation of his pay status or something changed that you're not aware of. But for that specific question, please submit your inquiry to the EM Payments Help Desk. They will check on that and get back to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your answer. However, 6 months ago, I asked the same question, and they told me to be patient because there was going to be another run on the ePay. So you just keep referring. I mean, they refer me to you, and you refer me to them, and I still don't have an answer.
Okay, you can send that. You can send that inquiry to me. I can give you my email address. Send it to me. It's Deborah, DEBBRAE, as an elephant, TENNESSE at Maximus.com. And I will check that specifically for you and get back to you with an answer. I will not refer you to someone else.
All right. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Antonia Tolkiv.
Yes. Hi. This is Antonia Coe from AmericalWorks. I have a question about this relates to the direct marketing and this pilot program that you're going to be doing. We utilized the CD when we had availability to it. We were able to target thousands of people and receive thousands of inquiries back and really specialize that to our areas and where we could help. And we found it very, very helpful. And as you know, we're eager to have something back. We've reached out to Mr. Green about what the pilot program is, and I know you mentioned certain ENs would be in that pilot program to receive another CD or a list of individuals that we can target, but we don't know if we're one of these ENs or if we want to sign up for that, but we've never received a response. So is there a way to find out if we're going to be one of the ENs that receives this or a way to get on a list for that? How are you determining who's going to be receiving this pilot program list?
Gary, do you want me to respond?
Well, did you say that you had, this is Gary Rao, say that you had sent something to Mark?
Yes, we sent multiple emails. One is as recent as a few days ago.
Oh, okay. So you have not been contacted by us?
We have not, but we have expressed interest consistently in this since you mentioned the pilot program.
Right. First of all, we will go back and get you a specific response, and we will explain that we have to work through this first part, but we are interested in ENs that have a need for it, and so we will, as we move forward, we'll try to take that into consideration for sure.
Yeah, because we found it, you know, we understand you guys are doing this work, but, we have seen since we were informed that we must stop using this, when I say significant, that is an understatement, in drop-off of interest. Now, people were interested in signing up for our ENs. When we sent them information, we received a desperate response from people that they wanted to come in, and we had lots of responses. Since we ceased that, you know, we've seen a very significant decrease. And as we've expanded our Ticket to Work services, we're a national we're nationally in, we know that we would definitely be able to reach people and, you know, really target our outreach and, you know, it would obviously alleviate the burden for you guys sending people. But we were just curious when we'd hear about.
No, that's a perfectly legitimate question. We are not going to be sending a CD out again. We have a different process. But but you're right. You understand the basic of it. And if you want to send me a copy of that last email, Mark and I will get together and we'll make sure that we get a response to you promptly.
What is your email address?
Mine is
Gary. I have it. I'll send it to you.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, you have it.
We'll get back to you promptly.
And just for the record, what is your email address?
My email address is my name, Gary dot RAUCH@SSA.gov.
Okay, great.
And so this is Rob, and just to add to Gary's response, the good news is, you know, as Gary indicated in his earlier update, we are moving forward. This is something that we are continuing to work on. We've had some behind-the-scenes technical issues that we've had to resolve, that, you know, dealing with databases and so forth, but we will have more information on this for everyone shortly.
Great. I've got one other question. We are, as I've mentioned, a national employment network, and so we have offices throughout the country. We receive payments in the portal, we used to be able to view in the portal where the person was located, and this was very helpful for us for determining which office it was coming from. That column has been taken away. So we see a name, we no longer see a location. And it's become very confusing for us to be able to see in the portal what the location is. Is there any option to have that put back? Is there a way to have that added into the portal again so we actually know where these people are located that we're being paid on?
This is Katie. Where did you get, you're talking about the beneficiary state appearing somewhere?
Yeah, when we were receiving payments in the portal, we used to see a column that had a
Do you mean the old EN payment status report?
Correct.
Yeah,
and now with the new system, we don't see them anymore.
Correct. That report has been discontinued.
Okay.
We are now using solely the portal for reports.
Right. So, but in the portal, is there ever going to be a way for us to see the location that these people are located at? Because the information that we're given is just the name, really, and the payment and the milestone. But we have no idea, looking in the portal, where this person was located.
You can get that information. You can get the beneficiary's resident state. If you go to the screen, list beneficiaries currently assigned to me, and you download the list to an Excel spreadsheet, there is now a column for resident state that will give you the beneficiary state.
Okay. But there's no way looking at it there on the payment status.
We have nothing. No, we have nothing. That field is not part of the payment
okay.
already made to me screen or report. No.
Your next question comes from the line of Ken Williams.
Good afternoon, folks. Can you guys hear me?
I can, yep.
So more of a comment than a question. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you folks for the improvements that have come with the program over the past year and to let you know that those are appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. That's all I had, guys.
Hi. Checks in the mail.
Uh-huh. Your next question comes from the line of John Duplessis.
Hello, you guys. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I want to just also commend you guys. I really appreciate the changes that have been implemented in the portal as well as with the payments and so forth. E-pay, so I just want to commend you on that. Well, one of the questions I ask is that I normally participate in a lot of job fairs and community fairs. I'm trying to see how can I get some promotional material for the Ticket to Work program. Not necessarily the little cards that they have, the Choose Work cards, but something in addition to that.
So I can... Either, Saber, do you have any thoughts on this?
Sure. Annually, there is a call for ENs for printed materials that the program manager will print and then get out to ENs or get camera-ready artwork. That will happen again later this year. In the meantime, if you want to send a specific email to enoperations@yourtickettowork.com. We can reach out to you and see what kinds of things you're looking for that we have just in storage that we could get over to you until that next call for information is the next call for materials is out.
Oh, yes. So would it be like posters? Because posters would be great if you, I'm not sure if there's posters available or not.
Yeah, I think there's a variety of things available, and there are things actually that can be downloaded currently available at choosework.ttw.net.
Right, I have been on that site, but I was looking for maybe like posters or something like that.
Yeah. Shoot us an email at the EN Operations email, and then we'll get in touch with you about that.
Okay, super. Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back to you.
Okay. Thank you all for your input and your comments. We appreciate your participation in the services that you're providing to the beneficiaries. We look forward to moving forward with the next quarterly call. If you have additional questions or comments, make sure you're in contact with your EN services branch. And, again, if you have specific topics that you would like for us to cover on upcoming calls, please forward that information to the EN Service Branch as well. With that, we thank you very much and wish you all a good rest of the day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.